I want to preach something to help us tonight. And we've been looking at the roll call of faith. And listen, we live a life by faith. We understand that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I've said it many times while preaching out of this chapter that you would think that the word faith would be found many, many times in the Old Testament. But it's only found two times in the Old Testament. One where the Lord talks about the children of Israel being a people of no faith. And then it talks about it, I believe it was in the book of Habakkuk, where it said that the just shall live by his faith. And you think that we'd find it all through there. But we find faith represented and lived out through the Old Testament in these patriarchs and matriarchs that we find in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to look in verse 28 with me tonight and read your Bible when it says, through faith, I told about Moses, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you again and that for your wonderful mercy. And Lord, I need your touch tonight. I need you to touch my throat, my feeble attempt, and that to stand and preach tonight. Lord, we're going to do the best that we know how. But Lord, without your touch, it's just going to be a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Lord, we don't want that tonight. Lord, we want you to be honored in it. We want folk in that to find some help and that through the Word of God. Lord, we want somebody that might be lost and undone without you and that to understand salvation. And Lord, and come and get saved tonight. Lord, I ask you tonight to help us, Lord, and that to try to preach. And Lord, help that heart tonight that might be burdened down, that needs strength in that from you. Help the one that just might be backslid on you. And we pray they'd come and draw close to you tonight. But Lord, let us see from the Word of God tonight what we need to see. And we'll tell you again that we love you and thank you for Calvary. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Amen, amen. You be seated tonight. Now, as we've looked at Moses' life for the past few weeks, we find that Moses had a mother and a father that lived by faith. We see that in verse 23, that Amram and Jochebed, and that had faith, and that to hide him, and was not afraid of the king's commandments. And we've seen the story there about Moses' life. They seen that he was a proper child and that God had something and that in store for Moses' life. Can I tell you tonight that God's got something in store for your children and your grandchildren and you raise them in church and raise them in that in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But then we find that there come a day in Moses' life in verse 24 that by faith when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he was going to leave Pharaoh's house. According to the book of Acts chapter 7, at 40 years old, Moses makes his way out there to the burning desert and that to his people. And the Bible said right here, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he knew what was going to happen when he left Pharaoh's daughter's house and he took up with his people. And listen, he got out there and killed that Egyptian, ended up on the run. And for 40 years, he tended sheep on the backside of the desert, taking care of Jethro's sheep. But when the time came for him to go down and that to the land of Egypt, in verse 27, the Bible said by faith, again, we see by faith he left and that Pharaoh's daughter's house. And by faith they're going to forsake Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now always remember that God has had to say something to him. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we understand that God has directed Moses through all of this. And so by faith they're not going to fear and that the wrath of the king. Why? For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Boy, I'm glad tonight God may be in the third heaven. And listen, I may not be able to physically see him, but by the eye of faith, I've seen him. Amen. I've seen God move. I've seen God work. Listen, I have every reason to put faith in the God that's in heaven tonight because I've seen him work, and I know that he can. But I want you to look at that next verse that we read out of our text tonight. God, you help us now. It says, through faith, he kept the Passover, and not only the Passover, and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, I love the Passover. I love the story of the Passover. One of the greatest types that you ever see, and that of the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible tonight, go over the book of Exodus, chapter 12. I remember, Brother Jeff, the first time that I ever seen and that this passage of Scripture and related it to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 12, now we're talking about Moses through faith that he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. This is something new to the children of Israel. God is, oh, they've kept sacrifice, no doubt. We know that down through time. We know that Abraham made sacrifice and Isaac and Jacob. And then they get carried off down in the land of Egypt down there. And for 430 years, they've been down there, and 400 of them has been in bondage. And so we find as they're fixing to come up out of the land of Egypt, God's fixing to make them free and set them free. Boy, ain't you glad to be free tonight? And in verse 12 or chapter 12 of Exodus, the Bible said in verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the lamb, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your camp for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses whereon they shall eat it, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, as all of it. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Read on. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, even the first day. Ye shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done to you, be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month of this 14th day of the month at evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all of your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. I believe the Lord wanted them to eat unleavened bread, don't you? You say, well, the Lord was repetitive. You know why he's repetitive? He wanted them to get it. Amen. And you know why I sound like a broken record? Lord wants you to get it. Lord wants me to get it sometimes. Look what he said in verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that be in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in under your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And you can go on and read, and we'll read here in a little bit. But the Lord was laying out the Passover. And God, now listen, as a church, we don't celebrate the Passover. Nation of Israel celebrates the Passover. But as a church, we celebrate and that the Lord's Supper. And I'll deal with that here in a minute. But I want you to understand something. Out of all the plagues that God sent down to the land of Egypt to say to Pharaoh to let my people go, this was the only plague that the children of Israel had to do anything to ward off, if you let me say that. All the way from the river being turned to blood, from the lice and the locusts and the frogs, all the way to darkness, you'll find out that the nation of Israel, all they had to do was what they was doing. But when it come time and that for the Passover and that for the destroyer to move through, listen, they had to do something and that to be saved. And the Lord gave them exact and explicit instructions of what must be done. And so Moses lays it out there, and the Bible said that through faith they kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. You say, well, what was the big deal about that? Listen, they'd never had to do this before. Listen, this was the first time that they've ever had to put blood upon the door, upon the two side posts, and the upper door post, the lintel, if you would. This was the first time that they've ever had to do that. And it may have seemed a little silly, maybe under some of them. Listen, you know what? When we get to talking about having the blood applied to our life and that from the Lord Jesus, that seems a little silly to some folk. They talk about our slaughterhouse religion, our blood that has to that Jesus shed yonder at Calvary. Folk thinks that that thing ain't true and that it ain't real. But I'm going to tell you tonight, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and that applied to your life, you cannot be saved. You cannot be kept from destruction and judgment that's going to come one day in the wrath of God that'll be poured out. Hey, listen, Romans 5 and 8 said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, as Christ died for us, much more than being saved from wrath by his blood. Amen. Hey, it's his blood that saves from wrath. Thank God for that. Well, I'm just getting good and started tonight, ain't I? Amen. I'm feeling pretty good. But I want you to look, first of all, tonight as Moses and that by faith, thank you, Lord, was keeping the Passover. There's some instructions. Amen. I want you to look at the instructions. The very first thing that he talks about is a lamb. After he sets the days in order, and what do you mean the days? God, you know, God sets the calendar, amen. God told Moses, he said, look, this is going to be the first day of the first month of the first year. He said, this is where we start at, right here. Hey, God starts and finishes things, amen. Not us, not mankind, but God does. But I want you to look, when he began to talk about the Passover, the first thing they talked about, and that was a lamb. Amen. Hey, thank God for the lamb tonight. Now listen, the Bible said in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, for as much as you know, that you're not redeemed by corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so Moses, and that tells the children of Israel, take your lamb. He said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that lamb, and I want you to put it up from the 10th to the 14th day. And if you look in verse 5, he said, your lamb shall be without blemish. And now that's why they're putting it up from the 10th to the 14th day. They're separating it out. Listen, they're making something different about this lamb. This lamb that's fixing to die is going to give its life and that for the people that's going to be inside that house where the blood has been applied. This lamb is special. Listen, they've set it aside. They brought it aside, put it in a little pen by itself. And from the 10th day to the 14th day, they're watching that thing. They're making sure that there's nothing wrong with that lamb. Listen, that there's no blemish, that it's not halted, that it's not one-eyed, that there's not a scurvy on it, or that it's got some type of leprosy. They're watching this lamb to make sure that it's perfect. They want it to be without blemish. Can I tell you, and I preached on this not too long ago, that that's what they done to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, listen, everybody tried him, didn't they? Yes. I mean, the Pharisees got over there, and for 3.5 years, they tried the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they'd come to him, and they'd ask him this question, and this question, and that question, and this question, and they never could find nothing wrong with him. Right. I mean, hey, they'd accused him of a lot of things. And even if you look in John chapter 8, they accused him of being born of fornication over there. He said, "We be not born of fornication," is what they said. He was neither, amen. He was born in that of the Holy Spirit and that of God. Read Luke chapter 1 over there. Boy, I mean Luke chapter 1. The Holy Spirit come over there and overshadowed Mary. Hey, the only time that's ever happened, listen, and conceived in her, and that the very perfect Son of God, amen. Thank God for that. Hey, I'm feeling good tonight. Listen, so they put that lamb up and they watch him. And not only did the Pharisees try him, but Pilate tried him, didn't he? I mean, 3 times Pilate come out there and he said, "I find nothing wrong." He said, "I find nothing wrong with this man." Amen. He said, "I can't find anything wrong, but you want to kill him." You know what they done? They put that lamb up just so that they couldn't find nothing wrong with him. See, if they found anything wrong with it, it wouldn't do the job. Right. You ever think about that? Yeah. If there was something wrong with that lamb right there, it wouldn't do the job. Hey, if they'd ever found anything wrong with the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, he wouldn't have been able to do the job. Even the people tried him and seen everything that he could do. Listen, when they put him up and they'd try him, the Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Thank God he knew no sin. Amen. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't that wonderful? I was listening to a fellow preach. I guess it was this morning. I don't remember when it was or who it was. But got to talking about him working over there in the carpenter shop with Joe. I don't know if he worked in the carpenter shop or not. But I do know this, that if he worked with Joseph in the carpenter shop, he never got cut. He never got splintered up. Hey, listen, he was perfect. All those things would have indicated an accident. And there is no accident with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Mary knew that there's something different about him. So how do you know? Well, for one, the book of Luke said so. She laid all those things up to her heart. But you know what? If you look, and is it Mark chapter 2? The very first miracle that Jesus done over there in the wedding of Cana. When there's without wine. Yeah. What happened? What did she say? She told him over there, whatever he tells you to do, that's what you do. Now, how'd she know to say that? How did Mary know to say, whatever Jesus tells you to do, that's what you do? Boy, it's a good statement, ain't it? Amen. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, that's what you do tonight. Amen. Listen, let me move on. Listen, he was perfect. So they put this lamb up. They got that little lamb put up, and they're watching it for 10 to 14 days. I think sometimes them young'uns run over and love on that thing and put up. I know I should get some things in my mind, and they'd love on the thing. Ain't you glad Jesus loved on young'uns? Amen. Amen. I'm always reminded how much the Lord loves children. Really, if you go over and look, them disciples didn't want them children to come and bother the Lord, and he said, "Suffer the little children." Yeah. And boy, and listen, I don't think that Jesus went around with a smile on his face all the time, because the Bible said that he was a man of sorrows. And listen, I don't think he was grinning and laughing all the time, but you can't get around a bunch of young'uns and not have a smile on your face. Amen. I mean, I think he did. I believe that he loved on them, and they piled up in his lap, and he blessed them and sent them on their way. Amen. I don't know what that's good, but that's good tonight. Amen. But listen, I think they watched that lamb, and they found out that that lamb was perfect. The Bible said in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, who did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. That lamb had to be separated. Listen, Jesus was different than anybody else that ever walked on the face of the earth. Amen. And he was separated, but he was sinless too, wasn't he? Right. This little lamb had to be without blemish. I always get to thinking like this sometimes. You think about that lamb. That lamb had no idea what was fixing to happen. Had no idea what was fixing to take place. But when Jesus came, he knew what he was coming for. Amen. And I'm just so glad that he came. And so they said, put it up and watch that thing. And look right here. I love what the Lord told Moses over here in verse 4. And if the household be too little for the land, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Not that the land would be too little, but that the house would be too little for the land. In other words, the land be too big. He's an awful big lamb tonight, ain't he? Hey, you know what they told? You know what they told that Philippian jailer over there? When he came out there and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Boy, I tell you, he can not only save you, but he can save all your family tonight. Amen. He was big enough. Hey, that ark that Noah built was big enough to get the whole world on it if they'd have just done it. And he's big enough to save the whole world tonight. They ain't a sinner tonight that he can't save except the one that won't come to him tonight. Amen. But then in verse 6, they said, put it up. Now Moses has to believe this, you see. By faith. By faith. Moses got to believe this. Listen, this is what's going to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. You know what's going to deliver lost folk? If you're unsaved tonight, if you're lost, what's going to deliver you out of bondage? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and he shed blood at Calvary. Look what it says now in verse 6. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So it had to die in the evening time. It had to die. Can I tell you now, there was no other way for Jesus, but he had to go to Calvary. He had to. Just as sure as that lamb had to die, Jesus had to die. Bible talks about it in Matthew chapter 27, I believe it is, or Matthew chapter 26, how it talks about how that he had to give his body and that for us. Not only did he shed his blood, but he had to give his body. That lamb had to give itself. Had to give itself. That lamb had to die. They couldn't just drain a little blood out of it and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. You know, they could have got blood out of it and not killed it. You know, they can get blood out of you and not kill you, by the way. Amen? And then back then, they could have got blood out of that lamb and put some on the doorpost and on the lintel. That ain't what God said to do. There had to be a sacrifice. Something had to die because the destroyer was coming through that night. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that lamb that's been put up. And he said, I want you to kill it in the evening time. Can I tell you, if you read your Bible, Matthew chapter 27, you'll find out that Jesus was killed in the evening time. They took him to Calvary about the third hour in the morning. And from the third hour, I mean, as they crucified him, the Bible said from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, it was dark. And somewhere around the ninth hour, which is about 3 o'clock, you'll find out that he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And boy, there's a few hours rocked on there. And then he finally gave up the ghost. And so here's what they had to do. They had to kill the Passover. If you look in verse 21, the Bible said that Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take your lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Can I tell you, it was no accident that Jesus died at Passover time. It was no accident that Jesus was killed at Passover time. Think about this. Think about this. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 53, it tells us that as a lamb was led to the slaughter, so he openeth not his mouth. You know what John saw over there when he got caught up into glory, up into the third heaven? He said, I saw as a lamb that had been slain. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no accident. It's no accident that he was killed. And then I want you to look, not only did that lamb have to be killed just as the Lord Jesus Christ had to be killed. And by the way, John 10 said that he laid down his life for us. And he said, if I lay it down, I'll take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Amen. Listen, the thing about it was when that little lamb died, that little lamb was dead. I mean dead. But see, it was dead forever. See, Jesus wasn't dead forever. He just died physically for them 3 days. Amen. But he had to die. Christ Jesus had to die because the book of Hebrews says that he tasted death for every man. He took our place, didn't he, tonight? But I want you to look. Listen, think about that. That little lamb that was pinned up and put up Listen, do you realize that because of that lamb, then nobody inside that house had to die? Mm-hmm. Amen. That lamb took their place. Ain't that right tonight? Had that lamb not been killed and blood shed, not spilt, but shed, then friend, they'd have never got by the destroyer that night. Amen. When judgment come upon the lamb. I want you to look. Look in verse 22. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out the door of his house until the morning. Boy, it's something new now. Moses never had to do this before. Children of Israel never had to do this before. But God has told them what to do. So they take a bunch of hyssop. So the Bible said that through faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. So I get it in my mind and I look at this and the Bible said that blood was going to be a token in verse 13 upon the houses where you are. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We sing that old song sometimes out of the Redback book, don't we? Yep. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. So they take a basin. They have killed that lamb and they have now shed its blood and caught it in a basin and took a bunch of hyssop. And by the way, they used hyssop. If you look through the Bible, they used hyssop for purification. But they took a bunch of it and they dipped it down in that blood and they began to sprinkle it upon the two side posts and upon the lintel, the upper door post, over that house. And so he believed in the sprinkling of the blood. If they didn't believe it, they wouldn't have done it.
Amen.
Amen. Right. If they didn't have faith that it was going to work, they'd have never trusted it to have done what he's going to do. And so God said, take that blood. And boys, I still believe that it's the blood tonight.
Amen.
It takes blood to wash away man's sins. The blood must be applied. Revelations 1 and 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hey, listen, the Bible said in Romans chapter 3, as Moses was having faith and that in the blood of that little lamb and in the blood that was going to be applied to the doorpost and on the lintel, Romans chapter 3 and verse 25 said, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. You got to believe that his blood will do the trick tonight. That Jesus can wash you and make you white as snow. I sing, and we sing it here to church sometimes, and what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. One of my favorite songs out of the Redback book is page 379. When it talks about that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14 says the same thing. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Ain't that wonderful tonight to know?
Amen.
Moses believed that lamb, they kill it over there, and they take that hyssop and they dip it down in there, and they sprinkle it on the side post and on the upper door post, the lintel. They put it up there on that, and they get inside the house. They had to get in the house. That's the thing about it. Had to be applied, but then they had to get into where the blood had been applied to. Listen, now, blood's got to be applied to your life. Amen. Got to be applied. Jesus Christ applies the blood, and you get in him tonight. Never to get out. Boy, I do believe, I really believe, they was some mom and daddies over there, told their youngins, said, look, said, we're going to put this on, we're going to put this blood upon the doorpost and the lintel, and we're going to stay in here all night. And that's where we're going to be. And if we'll stay inside the door, everything's going to be all right. See, they had to do that because judgment was coming. They just didn't do it because They wanted to do it. They didn't do it because God just said to do it, just randomly to do it. They done it because judgment was coming. I want you to look in verse 13 or verse 12. He said, "For I'll pass through. I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt." Death was coming. See what's coming? Death's coming. "Both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Not only was death coming, not only was that happening, but God's judgment and that on a wicked nation and on a wicked society was coming. Can I tell you, death is coming to every one of us. And you need to have it ready. Amen. You need to have the blood applied. Just as sure as right here, they had faith and that of what this blood and getting inside that house could do. Hey, you need to have faith and that in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the work of Calvary is good enough to save you tonight. Amen. And good enough to keep you. I don't know if folk got inside that house and worried or not. I don't know. I mean, it makes for a pretty good song. Amen. But I don't know if that happened or not. If it's like me, I'd be wondering myself sometimes. Now, the Lord said to put blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And Nick, this is just the way that my mind works. How much? I'm serious. That's the way my mind works. How much was needed? You know what? The Bible will tell us right here how much was needed. He said just sprinkle it on the doorpost and on the lintel. And here's why. Right here, I want you to look at it. He says, for I'll pass through the land of Egypt that night. And he said in verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He didn't say that you had to have 2 gallon, 10 gallon, 3 gallon. That didn't matter. He said, when I see the blood of that lamb that's been sacrificed, I'll pass over you. He said, I'll know that death has already come to this house. You realize that? Death had already come to that house. Death had already come by and showed up. Listen, death has already come by for me. See, that little lamb paid the judgment for whoever was in that house that night. That little lamb paid for the judgment. Just as sure as Christ, thank God, just as sure as Christ Jesus yonder at Calvary paid for my judgment.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Listen, he said, look. He said, not only that, but he said, look, I'm going to execute judgment and that on the gods of Egypt. He said, I'm going to judge a wicked society. Do you realize that God's going to judge this whole world one day for the wickedness that it truly is? Hey, listen, he's going to do it now. He's going to do it. And then I want you to look right here. I want you to look. Now, they had to be ready to go. The blood protected them. Thank God for blood protection. But he said, I want you to eat it with you. Loins girt about you right there. Let me see if I can go back and find it right here. Verse 11. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girt and your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. He was soon to come, wasn't he? Now listen, can I tell you that he's soon to come and we ought to be ready to go. I believe he was telling them, you just need to be ready to go. You need to be ready. It's going to happen. So get the blood applied. Get the blood applied on the outside because you're going to have to go. You're going to have to, can I tell you, there's come a day that you're going to have to go.
Amen.
And the blood needs to be applied. He says, we're getting you out of here. Can I tell you, tonight might be your night that you get out of bondage.
Amen.
Amen. Listen at me now. If you're lost and undone, tonight can be your night. Amen. That the blood can get applied and you can be washed and made clean and whole in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that tonight. I'm glad that he'll save tonight whoever. Boy, they had to be ready to go. The Lord was ready to deliver them. And get them ready. But as I sat down and I read this, looked over this lake this evening, just to go over it. And he said that, look, he said, I want you to roast it with fire. Eat not raw, sodden, and all with water, but roast with fire. Verse 10, he tells them, don't let nothing remain to the morning. You shall burn with fire. Can I tell you, Jesus took our judgment, didn't he? Every bit of it. Jesus tasted hell for us. He really did. I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to go through that. Amen. I don't have to go to hell. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Had not been for Christ Jesus, every one of them sort of stood up and shouted right then.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, listen, that was a cue card to shout right there if I've ever heard one. Listen, you don't have to die and go to hell. I don't have to die and go to hell. Amen. Because Jesus saved me and washed me clean. Thank God for that. He took our judgment. Read Isaiah chapter 53 sometimes. He took our judgment. And so Moses done exactly what God said to do. Through faith, he kept the Passover, and he brought the land of the nation of Israel up out of the land of Egypt and made them free. He said, it'll be a token to you. The blood is going to be a token. Now, listen, that word token, if you ever think about that, now, that word token is a sign of something intended to represent or indicate another thing or another event. Now, that's what the word token means. It means something intended to represent or indicate another thing or another event. Now, the blood's going to be a token. Now, one, it's going to save you. I believe the Lord was telling Moses over there, it's going to save you. But that blood, Moses, that thing is a token of the one that's soon to come, or going to come. And he's going to shed his blood for all. But I want you to look. I want you to take your Bible and flip on over in Exodus 12. And look in verse 28. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. So in other words, they done what God said to do. You do what God says to do, you can be saved. Amen. Amen. And it came to pass that at midnight, you ought to do a study of some things that happened at midnight in the Bible. I'm just saying, you ought to look at it sometimes, of what happens at midnight. You know, children of Israel, the plague, and that comes through the land of Egypt at midnight. It was at midnight that God shook the foundation of the prison over there in the Philippian jailer, wasn't it?
Amen.
Huh? In the book of Acts 16. Just study on midnight sometime. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Man, I'm telling you, undertakers was in a hurry, wasn't they? I mean, every undertaker was in the land of Egypt. They was busy that night, wasn't they? I mean, death had come to every house. Death had not been passed up by the destroyer because the blood had not been applied down in the land of Egypt. And so the Bible said that death had come. Can I tell you, if blood ain't applied, death's going to come. And he called, talking about Pharaoh, he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people. Well, can you imagine? Stop for just a minute. Can you imagine how the tragedy that was going on in the land of Egypt that night? I mean, there wasn't a house nowhere that death hadn't come. There wasn't a barn nowhere that there wasn't a calf or a cow laying out there that wasn't dead. This had to be a bad night, man. A bad night. In verse 31, he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you've said. Also take your flocks, your herds, as you've said, and be gone. And I love verse 32, and bless me also. You got to love Pharaoh, man. You got to love him. He said, I want you to go, man, just get out of here. We can't take no more of this. You're killing us, literally. And he said, I want you to take all of you. I want you to take your flocks and your herds and you go and you worship. And when you leave the land of Egypt, you say a prayer for me too on your way out. But he said, you get out of here. We can't take no more. If they would have just understood the application of the blood and what it meant. And I love verse 33, and the Egyptians were urging upon the people that they might send them out of the land with haste, for they said, we be all dead men. They didn't want to get rid of them for 9 plagues. God had hardened Pharaoh's heart and wouldn't let them go. But on that 10th plague, when death came by and the blood had been applied down in the land of Goshen, down there where the children of Israel was, and Egypt, and that experienced death that one night of the firstborn, they said, get out of here. It was the blood. It was the blood that made them free. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Not when I see that dead. Hey, listen, they could have killed that lamb and thrown it over there in the bushes somewhere and it would have never worked. There had to be application of the blood to be saved. There had to be application of the blood. And then he told them, this will be a memorial. In verses 24 through 27, he said, I want you to keep it as a memorial. And he said, that way, when you observe this thing forever, that those that ask the question of what it is, you can tell them what it's all about. It's like us keeping the Lord's Supper. When them young'uns ask you why, you know, that ain't saved, why they can't have a piece of bread or be able to drink that cup up here, it's already been blessed. When they ask you them questions, you begin to tell them what it's all about. When they ask you why you partake of it and you do this thing, you know what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? He said, you do this to show the Lord's death till He comes. And that's why we do it, because He's the one that died and shed His blood for us. Ain't that wonderful tonight, church? Moses. The Bible said about Moses' faith that what? That he kept the Passover. That through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. It probably seemed like a strange thing, but they done exactly what God said to do. And because they done what God said to do, they were made free. You know, the only thing that makes sinners free tonight, do what God said to do.
Amen.
Just come and get saved. That's a wonderful thought tonight, ain't it? That all you got to do. Listen, salvation is easy. You know, really, this was not hard. All they had to do is put up a lamb, kill it, sprinkle the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, the upper doorpost, and then get inside and wait till morning. That's not hard. But can I tell you that if that's what God required today, folk would do it. Mm-hmm. But all He requires is for somebody to just kneel down and kneel their heart and ask Him to save them, and that's it. That's all that's required. Preacher, it can't be that easy. It's that easy tonight. Knowing that you're lost and needing to come and get saved, He'll save. Let's bow our heads across the house tonight. Let's bow our heads. Have you trusted in the Lord? Have you had faith? Brother Lewis, would you come pay out tonight, brother, if you would? Let's get a verse of invitation. Maybe tonight you've never been saved. Maybe tonight. So, preacher, it's a Sunday night, and surely everybody in here has been saved. Listen, I don't know folks' hearts tonight. I don't know folks' hearts. But listen, maybe tonight you need to come and get saved. Tonight would be a good night for you to do that. And listen, it was by keeping, by that through faith of keeping of the Passover. Can I tell you tonight, you just, and I don't want to say to remain saved because that ain't the way it works. But I want you to understand something. To have peace and joy in your heart that you just got to believe by faith that God done what He said He would do when He saved you. I think we lose sight of that, church, that if you come to Him and ask Him to save you, knowing that you're lost, that He'd save you and He'll keep you tonight.